Because what they're saying is, well, Joseph was a lowly carpenter. And so they're knocking Jesus for being the son of a carpenter. What can he possibly know? He's unschooled, untrained. All he knows is how to build things. So there's some of this prejudice right there. So that gives you a little undercurrent of the society of that time. And if you look at the widow in Sidon, and you look at Naaman the Syrian, they weren't Jewish. Ah, so what did these folks get so upset about? The story of Jesus returning to his hometown synagogue began with so much promise. He stood up and read Isaiah's description of the Messiah, one who would bring good news to the poor, sight to the blind, and freedom to the captives. Then he claimed that this old prophecy is being fulfilled in their midst. We talked about that last Sunday. He claimed, his neighbors, friends, and family looked at each other and smiled. Oh, that's nice. The hometown boy is doing okay. The year of the Lord's favor, right here in Nazareth of Israel. How nice. Doesn't that sound a little condescending? But then things took a different turn. Jesus couldn't leave well enough alone. You know the term poking the bear? He poked the bear big time. He told them how the ancient prophets, Elijah and Elisha, didn't focus on the widows and the lepers of Israel, but brought good news and healing to outsiders, a widow in Sidon and Naaman the Syrian. The people began to shift uneasily in their seats. Ever done that? They had second thoughts. Can this be Joseph's son? The craziness, the audacity of what Jesus had just said to them began to sink in. All of a sudden, their little light bulbs went on, and they're going, wait a minute. I think he's talking about outsiders get to have God's favor, not just the Jews. The people sprang to their feet and drove him out of town. He got driven out of town a lot. You know, this was not the first time. And they tried to push him off the cliff. Wow! Talk about the love of the people all of a sudden becoming one of hatred and anger. Now, we'll see how it goes after the Super Bowl today, right? Call me at home about 9 o'clock tonight. If you need to do any repentance, you have my cell phone number. Give me a call. Luke's description of this situation has two levels to it. The one located in Nazareth, his hometown. The other tensions that existed in the post-resurrection church out of which Luke was writing. Now we're talking post-ascension of Christ to heaven. One element is the open affirmation of the Jewishness of Jesus. He was truly Jew. And his message got to a lot of people. He was a Galilean Jewish rabbi. Let's not forget that. He was a rabbi. But he was also the Messiah for the world, and that's the part the Jews kept forgetting. His mission was global and trans-Jewish. In other words, he went across the lands. There were no boundaries. There were no barriers for him. Some of the early churches had tension. Imagine that. Had tension between the Jewish Christians and the converted Gentiles. Because the Jews originally thought that when Christ died, it was for them only. But then Peter, in his vision out of Acts 10, verses 9 through 33, where this plate of all kinds of food that was prohibited by Pentateuch law, Deuteronomic law, Numbers, Leviticus, all those laws, you not, shall not eat pork, you will not eat certain types of birds. Peter has this huge vision of this plate coming down with everything that is forbidden. And God tells him, eat the food. Peter comes back and says, no, Lord, I've never eaten this food. It's not allowed. And this is when the Lord tells him, no, you eat everything. It is all open. And so for him, that became the message of the whole message of Jesus is open to the world. Jews and Gentiles. We're Gentiles. You know, maybe somewhere in your past, our past, we have Jewish ancestry. Don't know. But there was tension between Jewish Christians and the converted Gentiles because some worshipped Fridays and some observed church as it is forming on Sundays. So there's this tension. Some of the Jewish Christians of Luke's day felt like the Nazarenes listening to Jesus reading Scripture. They were pleased with the idea of the hometown boy makes good. In this case, meaning Jewish, our Jewish homeboy has made good. But they were not comfortable with the idea of the glorious prophecies of the tradition that said the good news is for everybody. Isaiah spoke it. The word of God is for everybody. They wanted to hold back this light of Jesus, but God was saying, no, this is not what you're going to do. So how many of you have watched Wizard of Oz more than once or twice or three times? Oh, yes. This is one of those. Yes, I remember when Danny Kaye was part of that show every year. We'd watch it. So think of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Think of her sitting in her backyard warbling somewhere over the rainbow. Very famous song. Longing to fly beyond the ordinary, the obvious, the dimness of her own, bless you, of her own surroundings. Her fellow Kansans will tell her to get her head out of the clouds and focus on the here and now, where work needs to be done and storms threaten to rage. Well, we know farther along in this story, the tornado comes along. She's blown out of Kansas. She is suddenly in Oz. And we now go from black and white to Technicolor. And everything is perfectly illuminated. She now understands all sorts of new things. The amazing new world isn't perfect because the house kills somebody when it lands. Ah, the Wicked Witch. There are things that happen that she has quite the adventure. But then, at the end of the movie, what happens? The color goes away and it goes back to black and white. So which part of the world are we in? Are we in the Technicolor? Or are we in the black and white? Or are we in the gray zone? I'm a gray zone guy. Ask my wife. She has to deal with a gray guy all the time. Okay, enough of that. She wakes up back in her black and white home. She tells her disbelieving friends and family of the wondrous light she's seen out there. Now, in this case, we're seeing blue sky and some sunshine over here to the west. Hallelujah for that. But it's the out there for her. She's in awe, but the biggest realization is that all the glory was right there the whole time in front of her. She just couldn't see it. Jesus said, you have eyes to see and ears to hear, but you don't see and you don't hear. And it's when we have the Spirit of God fall upon us that we now have eyes to see and ears to hear. Jesus' revelation that the good news is for the whole world, not just for us who have known Jesus all our lives, shouldn't offend us or make us want to run. It's not a threat, but an invitation. Jesus' presence is an invitation to us. It's not hard. He says, my yoke is light. Take the yoke on. Jesus is bringing good news to the poor, sight to the blind, and all of this today in our midst. And we can be a part of it, spreading his good news all over the earth. But in our case, how about we spread the good news in Logan area for you, Sue. For Brigham City, it's your neighborhoods or the mission field right out here, right across the street, right across the parking lot from us, our mission fields. Let us spread the good news, not just worldwide. Spread the good news to the person you work with. Spread the good news to your neighbors or maybe to that relative who is a doubter, confused, or hurt. Bring them back. Introduce them to the Lord. Introduce them to the Lord. And can all of God's people say amen? Amen? Amen. Well, let's get ready to have communion. we're going to need Tyler and the kids back out here for...